Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Inside of the wings of an angel, there's peace in her eyes above. I surrender to finding an answer, being in the presence of love. Knowing inside me, I've been blinded by hope, you see. Now I know that I'm one with eternity.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We started off with a little bit of what I'd describe as a musical power. Miracle is the name of that lovely piece that we just heard. Mia Nell is to be my guest today. She is going to be calling us from South Africa. Her book is called Knowing Who I Am. So we are waiting for that telephone connection to be made. So she is a woman who has an incredible performing schedule, and we're just very grateful she's going to be able to be with us. She is absolutely gorgeous, too. Her name is spelled N-I-A-N-E-L-L, and there's a special story behind it. So when we get her on the air, we will be able to share that with you. Yes, I'm doing a little bit better. My laryngitis is finally beginning to abate. Thank heavens. Oh, my goodness. It is really the pits when your world is occupied with talking on so many different levels and your voice goes out. And you begin to sound like a squeaky rat. Well, it's not fun, but you survive it. It gives you something to complain about. I wanted to share a thought with you. Here in the United States, so many, many people have been hit very, very hard by circumstances totally outside of their control. And I will tell you what, I have not had an opportunity to watch a whole bunch of television. My schedule's been pretty busy. But I have just been so inspired by some of the people that have been interviewed saying, well, we're just doing what we can do. We take it one day at a time, or 1 hour at a time in some instances, and we just do what we can, and we're helping each other out. And the attitude of people when they go through crises is really something. I find that there are so many that discover within themselves a strength, a stamina, a courage that they had never even been tested to exhibit. And it is just absolutely wonderful. I had a comment made by Anne Deidre, and it's about serenity. And I thought I would share it with you this morning while we're waiting for Nia Nell. It's, you have chosen this card as a reminder that God, the Creator, the source of all life, is within you. To reach clarity of mind and divine illumination, if you can meditate, be still, and connect with this power, it's not outside of you. Once you do, you'll no longer depend on the outside world for validation. For in solitude lies the genius within you. Our intuition is God speaking to us. Listen to the voice of love inside your true self. You will experience an indescribable peace. I think that so many people have been sending prayers. They've been doing everything they possibly can to take care of what is around them, but also to help those who are in need. And I want to thank all of you for your wonderful compliments, your comments, and just know that we're going to make a difference. And together, we can always achieve a lot more than many times we can just by being all by ourselves and all alone. So that is something that I just wanted to start off the show with. We're waiting for my guest, Nia, now, and as soon as we get her call from South Africa, we will be putting her on the air. I wanted to talk about a different level of courage. Sometimes people have conditions that affect them physically. And I don't just mean a hurricane. I mean physical, physiological conditions. And have you ever heard of cerebellar ataxia? Well, I'll tell you these medical terms, especially when it's the early part of the day. You try to wrap your tongue around them. I don't know how people even remember the half of them, but there are so many things we don't realize that can assault the human body. What is this? It's a neurological disorder that affects the person's coordination and balance. Well, there's a woman by the name of Mary, and I have this absolutely awesome picture of her and this little bitty dog, this little bitty corgi. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had a corgi around you. They are absolutely priceless. I have a dear friend, Mary, in Alaska, and she has her little corgi, Nana. And, of course, Nana won my heart within a split second as soon as I saw her, because they are just absolutely fabulous, fabulous animals with these little short legs, great big ears, and eyes that are just soul-penetrating. They're just wonderful, wonderful dogs. Well, when the lady, Mary, and she's in Iowa, found out that she had this condition, her neurologist said, "You must walk." Now, I'm looking at a photo of Mary, and she is in a wheelchair. And you go, well, that's interesting. If you don't have coordination, if you can't keep your balance, how are you going to walk? How are you going to be able to do what your doctor is telling you, which your doctor is saying, you've got to move. Not only do you have to do physical therapy, but you have to move the body. Well, she actually can walk in a way with her wheelchair. And the doctor just told her, he said, you must move your body. You can't take anything for granted. You've got to move it because your whole nervous system is involved. Well, she had had a wonderful, wonderful dog. And he had been trained, and along with her kids, you know, it was just, he just absolutely just was wonderful. And because he was a lab, his name was Lou, because he was a lab, he just reached a point where for her, it wasn't easy for her to handle the dog and to do what she needed to do because of her physical disability. Well, she found a nice home for Lou, but then she felt like she was missing something. What was it she was missing? She was missing the companionship. She was missing the fact that having the dog was a motivation for her. And at the same time, when she started thinking about getting a dog because of her disability, her physical disability, she goes, well, what kind of a dog should I get? She just absolutely, almost had totally given up on getting one when she had this overwhelming urge. And it was an urge to go online and check out the animals at a local shelter. What happened is, even though she was saying verbally, I really don't want a dog, in her heart she was saying she really did want a dog. Well, she's flipping the pages on the internet, and all of a sudden, here is this big-eyed adorable, happy-spirited little corgi. Well, Mary had two cats, so the dog would have to get along with the cat. She had a form she had to fill out. It was quite an involved form. And what occurred is that she had to submit this. And do you know, even with the information about her disability, there was a volunteer from the shelter that brought this adorable corgi over to her house. And she was named Little Dog. And the volunteer said, you need to know something about Little Dog. Little Dog was part of a puppy mill. And I found her living in a chicken wire cage on the ground in mud and water. Now, this animal had been living like this. And she said she's only 3 years old. But they kept breeding her and breeding her and breeding her. Well, they managed to shut the puppy mill down. They brought her in. And the guy that owned the puppy mill said, well, you've got her, but I'd put her down. She's already had a bunch of litter. She's not worth anything. Now, there was a foster mom that had been taking care of Little Dog. And so she told Mary, she's going to need to have some social training because she's done nothing but live in a cage all of her life. Now, there's another family that's also interested in her. So you need to find out whether this is going to work for you. Now, this is what happened with this dog. Here's a foster mother dog care trainer talking with Mary, explaining everything to Mary. This little corgi, as soon as that woman asked Mary, do you really think Little Dog will be a good match for you? This corgi comes up from behind this foster parent's legs, walks over to Mary, puts her paw up on her leg, and her head in Mary's lap. Do you think the dog understood what was going on? One of the cats then comes up and cat style hisses. Well, Little Dog retreated, and then she thought about it and she went right back to her same position. And this time, what she did, she turned to the cat and she gave a little bit of a growl. Well, both women were in stitches, watching this drama going on. And the foster caregiver for Little Dog said, well, I won't have the final say in it. There is going to be the Animal Protection and Education Board that will make all the final decisions. And they have been expressed anxiousness because you had given up the lab that you had had before, that, well, you just might not be ready for this little dog. Well, you know what? The dog was taken out of the home, and the caregiver said, we'll be in touch. 2 days later, she gets the call, because Mary knew the little dog was the person for her, the first person to be in her life. They called her and said, you have been accepted as the new family for this dog. Well, do you know what? It was really a challenge because when she had the dog at home, she ended up having a fall, and it scared the dog. But she gathered her wits about her and she started talking to the little dog. And right then and there, with that experience, changed the name of the dog, which I think is great, to Lily. And she started talking to Lily. And Lily responded. she was concerned, but you know what? Lily was a natural. Lily knew exactly how to work with her, work with Mary, how to move along with her just when she was in a wheelchair or if she was walking on her own. She never jerked the leash, never threw her off balance. She just knew. So between the two of them, there was this bond of trust that has developed very, very quickly and goes on to this day. She said, I have had this beautiful dog for 5 years now. I'm having to use my wheelchair a lot more than I'd like. But she said, Lily doesn't care. She goes right along with me. We're partners in everything that we do. No judgment on the part of this beautiful corgi who adopted Mary before she was given permission to live with her. And it was the right choice. There are so many experiences that I've had with animals through the years. They always surprise me. Animals are able to read people so accurately, so excellently. And I remember one of our first Scotties who we had, his name was, we called him Mr. Smoke. And he reminded you of an elderly Scotsman. Even when he was a puppy, he was just this old soul, this very, very wise Scottish terrier. And for those of you that have ever been around terriers, you know how fiercely independent they are. And they're also exceptionally intelligent. Well, he in his lifetime, and he was with us for 12 years, he in his lifetime only disliked three people. And every single one of those people, every single one of them, I found out were not to be trusted. And that is something that I've often said, that if you understand your animals, you trust your animals. They will let you know about the quality of character and person that you have in front of you. That's very important. I know my Scotties have, and our little Victor is very much that way. He's very much that way, and it's a fascinating phenomenon to watch. And I think any of you that have pets and have been around animals for a part of your life, you know what I'm saying is true. So if anybody ever thinks that animals are dumb, I got news for you. Just because they can't speak our language, they understand, just like little Lily did. She knew exactly what was being said. And let her feelings be known when she put her head and her paw into Mary's lap. She knew where she belonged. They can also psych you out. That's what little Victor did with me. Anyway, we have not heard from Nia Nell, but we're going to take a break for just a moment to play one of her pieces of music. I don't know why we've not been able to get a call from her from South Africa, but we'll find out one way or the other. But I do know we're going to have her on again if for some reason this doesn't work out. But let's take a break now for just a minute, for 1 minute, to listen to an excerpt by Nia Nell, who is, well, she is an international multi-platinum recording artist. Si shara rishila nereo se la setu Hi, this is Donna. Isn't that a beautiful piece of music? Nia Nell is an incredible artist. That is called Angel Tongue. She is a woman just has this exquisite voice. And again, we're waiting for a call from her from South Africa. But I could not help but share some of the music, even though she's not on the air with us right now, because I think that beautiful music is something we all enjoy. Well, let me open up the phone line since I'm not sure if we're going to be able to connect. She is in South Africa. She was supposed to be here in the United States, but due to the hurricane, of course, what was it, 18,000 plus flights around the world were canceled because of the horrific storm. So let's just open up the phone lines, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Advertising. Boy, we all get it. I don't know of a day that goes by that we are not, in one form or another, blasted with it. Whether it's through television, billboards on the side of the road, mail, it doesn't make any difference. Advertising has been around for as long as man has been able to put information up about what he's doing, how he's doing it, and gee whiz, come and buy from me. That is nothing new. We all accept it as a way of life. However, designer clothing, when was this that really came about? Well, it was something that evolved. You can go back in history and you can find all kinds of historical information about clothes, especially in France and, of course, in Italy, the area of Venice. Dress was status. And if you had lots of material or what have you, there were those people that designed always for the wealthy. But it's interesting. Judith Martin said that there was a tyranny of commercial classes. Invisible labels meet the modern need for the relative worth of purchased goods to be recognized by people who haven't had sufficient leisure to learn how to make subtle judgments. Now, that's just a hot and, you know, and long-haired way of saying branding. That is the single word I would use. When you go in and you see something like St. John, you know that that is a line of clothing. So branding, or Nike, that's another line of, you know, shoe wear. This is very, very important. Now, let's go back to the good old days. In the good old days, the owners of Titian paintings or Adolfo gowns wanted to impress their social peers who had the money and the leisure to learn about these things. And they knew the value of what they were purchasing. The same thing goes on today. Now, what evolved, especially in the United States, it's what was called new money. People that made fortunes that came from the lower class. New money, old money. There often were wars between them. Well, what happens when you have an abundance of wealth? Well, I guess you could stuff the money or the wealth or the gold or whatever you have into a wall somewhere or into the ground. But of what use is that? So you spend it, don't you? And for much of history, that's what people did. And in early America, the value of the dollar was quite high. So homes were built, like the Biltmore Castle that we have in the United States and so many other places. And they were built. And people bought yachts. They started getting involved with a lot of activity that the very wealthy did. So they would often, because they had not had the opportunity before, buy or invest in the latest fad. Well, we still have things like that that go on. So Style Merchants, that's the label they had, they started to court the public. They wanted to be identified. And there are brands that the average person will recognize because of the branding process of repetition and exposure has brought to them. So it's a status of social standing, and it's still very strong today. The arrival in the social sphere means that you are accepted. I find that so fascinating. But it is true. And a lot of people will go out and will say, well, I want only designer clothes. I always have to chuckle because you might find something, and that's where New York is just fabulous. You will go to New York, and there are a gazillion stores, and you will go from one block to another, and you will find that in one store, one shoe might cost $2,000. You go a few blocks later, there might be a copy. Looks absolutely identical. That's $25. It's a fascinating world we live in. So there's a lot of copycats out there. There's a lot of things that are available to people. And one of the things I would just like to share with you today, I would like for you to really understand that here in the United States, we are so fortunate. And if you don't believe it, you need to take time to visit a third world country. You need to be able to step into a world that has no infrastructure whatsoever to be able to feed its own people. And when you enter into a world like that, you never, ever forget it. You never forget it. When I can walk into a dollar store and see literally millions of items that have been made. Now, they're not the best in the world, but they are still available. You can walk into a Target. You can walk into a Nordstrom. You look at the choices that we have. And with imagination, good planning, whether you're making $25,000 a year or you're making $5 billion a year, you have choice. You have choice in so many levels. It's up to you to realize that if you want to make a change, if you want to change your status financially, you can do that, number one, because you live in a country that enables you to have the choice to further your own education if you need to get new skills. It enables you to do what in so many areas of the world you would never be able to do. So I'll tell you what, this being a month for Thanksgiving, I really take the time to look at what's around me. And if ever there is the slightest irritation, I think and remember about someone who came from Estonia in the Second World War, where those poor people had nothing. Dentists couldn't get dental supplies. They were living under the roof of communism, starving, having horrible, horrible living conditions. And I remember this lady saying to me, in the United States, you have too many choices. And I thought, what an irony. She wants to live in the United States. She's perfectly happy being here. But what she was expressing was her confusion and frustration at having to make a choice. Because in the world she came from, she didn't have any. She was told what to do. She was told what she could eat. She was told what she could and could not do. The encouragement of choice, decisiveness was not an option. So keep that with you. I believe we are not going to be having Nia Nell today. And her book, Knowing Who I Am, we're going to play another piece of hers. We're going to take a break, come back, give me a call if you'd like. Phone lines are open, 888-627-6009. 800-800-8. We're going to be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, yesterday we had been talking about our upcoming holidays, Thanksgiving, and all the goodies, the different things that you could fix. So I thought it would be nice if we just dovetailed it with some of the wackiest diets that people have ever engaged in. And my goodness, if you go into any bookstore today, you are going to find there is, I don't know how many publications on dieting. I think last week I received, just via email, at least 10 emails, if not more, regarding this diet, that diet, the other diet, the Dr. Oz diet. I mean, you name it, all of this stuff coming out. And I thought, my goodness, maybe that's the reason why so many people are so overweight, is because we're so fixated on, gee whiz, we've got to diet, 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 diet. We don't end up doing it. I think sometimes you can sit and watch stuff instead of getting up and doing and just making some changes in your food program that can allow you to trim down. But these are some of the wild and wacky ones. And yes, they really are wacky. Some of these I've never even heard about. I think we've all heard about the cabbage soup diet. But had you heard about the cigarette diet? Mm-hmm. I'll give you two guesses as to who promoted this one. And it was Lucky Strike that said nicotine's appetite-curbing nature, which it does do that, says reach for a Lucky instead of a sweet. Guess what happened? The sales just went off of the records that they had had. It just was just unbelievable. The ad really upset the candy industry. And what happened is that there were a lot of men, women, and even kids. And because of that ad, branding, there we go, it's right along with branding again. That is something that really had a big effect. Well, this other one, I just shivered when I read about it. I thought, you've got to be kidding. In the early 1900s, there was a sanitized tapeworm diet. Yeah, if it doesn't give you the willies, it sure did give me the willies. There were some women who ingested sanitized tapeworms to eat up excess calories. Well, the pounds apparently just dropped off, but the worm got pretty big. You can imagine what they had to do. But tapeworms, in many parts of the world, people had them and they died. They died from malnutrition because whatever they ate, the worm was eating. They weren't getting it. Then also, the Inuit diet, and I chuckle with this because the Inuits of Alaska are very hardy people, and they have lived in the northern climates for centuries. Now, their diet consists of caribou, raw fish, and whale blubber. Now, it's protein-rich, but there's no cholesterol with it. That's really, for them and their environment, it's absolutely the healthiest way for them to eat. And apparently this diet came out in the 1930s. So it wasn't too widely accepted. As I mentioned to you, when I was in Alaska, there was these two wonderful women, a mother and daughter, who educated me about the whale. And they eat the tail and the fins. The flippers of the whales, they will eat them, and even of the seals, I guess. And they're considered very, very tasty, but especially the whale. And they eat them raw. Well, that didn't go over big with me. I went, oh, that I just couldn't imagine. I said, but it's really quite good. A little chewy, but it is really quite good. So for them, it's fine, but not for us. And not for me, anyway. And then you had the blue sunglasses diet. Now, this one I really thought was funny. It's not bad because you are advised to ingest eyewear. That's what's stated here. Since the mid-2000s, some dieters have worn blue-tinted shades which help make food look unappetizing, and so they eat less of it. I don't know about that one. I don't even think that that would work. I mean, if you have a good piece of chocolate cake in front of you, and it is good chocolate cake, blue glasses, red glasses, yellow glasses, who cares? It's still chocolate cake. You're going to taste it. Close your eyes. You're going to taste it. So I just really think that we as individuals really do some wild, wild and wacky things. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like a chat. Telephone lines are open, 530-413-5011. And you were listening just a moment ago to the music of Nia Nell. And that piece, the last one that we played, is called As One. And then on the next break, we're going to be playing Life's Gift. And I really hope to get her on the air when she is going to be in the United States, because obviously she wasn't able to call in from South Africa. Cold, 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 cold. It really was a cold, cold day. Well, we can relate to that. There's a lot of people in many parts of the country. It's getting colder and colder for them, and after the storm, it's where are you going to get your heat? Well, that's what was going on with a gentleman by the name of Vernon, who's in Illinois. The furnace, the old furnace in his home, just was on its deathbed. And he said they had bought a 1905 farmhouse just outside of Mansfield, Illinois. And he and his wife just loved this place. And they worked hard. They had moved in the summer of 1970, and we just worked on it, fixed it up. We just absolutely loved the environment, loved the place, knew that it needed a lot of work, just did what we had to do. He said then fall came around. And he said, I went down to our basement to fire up the furnace. Couldn't get it to work. It just wasn't going to work for me. And he said, I called every heating company in the book. Every one of them said, oh my goodness, the furnace you've got, it's so obsolete. They don't make the parts for it anymore. You're going to need a new system. Well, he said they'd put so much money into this house that there was no way that they were going to be able to buy a brand new system. So he and his wife just put on a heck of a lot more clothes and just huddled by their oven. That's how they were keeping warm. Well, in Illinois, it gets pretty cold. And for some reason, this one morning, he goes downstairs to the basement. And he's just sitting there looking at this fossil of a furnace, wondering what to do, when something slid off of the joist above him and fluttered to the ground. It was a very old business card. It was dirty. It was yellow. Now, on that was the date of the installation of the furnace, which had been put in decades before. But also was the name of a man, Mr. Doss. He's the man that had installed it. Now, the town that they lived in was a relatively small town. And he thought to himself, he said, you know, I think I remember a Mr. Doss. Well, just for the heck of it, he went up and got a Yellow Pages and started looking through listings, because in their Yellow Pages they had both the residential as well as the business listings. And he finds a Mr. Doss. So a voice answers when he calls, and he asks him, are you Mr. Doss, the furnace installer? He said, yeah, that's what I used to do. I'm retired. So Vernon said to him, could you come over and take a look at our furnace? He said, sure. So Mr. Doss comes over, looks at the furnace, does a few repairs. He said, you don't owe me very much. He said, I'm retired now. But he said, more than that, I had the parts. He said, I probably am the only person in the world who would have had these parts still laying around. And Vernon said, isn't it a coincidence that when I was downstairs, this card flutters down with the name of a man in the town who not only installed a furnace, but many decades later was able to fix it. Fascinating story, don't you think? This is Donna Siebel. By the way, for those of you in Western Washington, I want to let you know my class tomorrow, Quantum Mind 4, well, it's going to be happening. And we still have a few seats open, and if you would love to join us, we would love to have you. It's going to be a marvelous, marvelous day. Robert Newman is going to be giving information on the secrets, the Chinese secrets for longevity, health, and happiness. So he's going to be discussing that in the first part of the program. And then I'm going to be doing exercises with you regarding your own psychic abilities, and we're going to be sharing a lot of information. And I will be there to demonstrate that you have the abilities yourself. So if you'd like to participate, it's from 10 until 4 tomorrow. And the registration will start at 9:15 in the morning at Bridgeport Place. Give me a call at my office. As I said, we still have space. It's only $59.95. We'd love to have you join us. Call me at 253-582-5604. Quantum Mind 4. Join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, I forgot to tell you. We have got a harpist that is going to be providing some musical entertainment as well. Sammy Thompson is going to be with us. She's just a doll. And we're going to take a break. You're going to be listening to some more of Mia Nell's music. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Ah,
Without questioning why, slowly the night seems to fade into gray. Day came in time to break my fall. Now I'm awake, I can finally see life's gift. Just to be.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, we are going to have a dynamic group of people next week. As always, the Donna Shibasebo Show has a very eclectic arrangement of guests. We're going to be talking with Jan Schwartz. She had the book Last Summer with Oscar, and this is a story about her dog who had cancer and the amazing things that she discovered in supplements and other things that allowed her dog to live a quality life. Just a heartwarming story. Sea Travels, we're going to be experiencing the life of a mariner as it was told to Vaughn Sherman. And then the Bill Fisher story. Michael Burns is the son-in-law of the now deceased Bill Fisher, but Bill Fisher left a fabulous legacy. He started saving and investing when he was 70 years old and was able to leave a legacy of well over $1 million plus, a formula for ensuring that regardless of what life throws at you, you still can be comfortable and have a good life in old age. So this is going to be quite interesting. Sustainable wellness, Dr. Mumby and Heather Reed. Both of these people have been involved in the health industry, and the attitude is do what you can to keep yourself well, period, and take a proactive approach. Well, we're going to find out some of their tips, and then Patrick Robinson. Patrick's been a guest on my show before. His books, well, they, I'm telling you, are thrillingly gripping. This book, Power Play, is, well, boy, it is a doozy. It is fabulous. Once you pick it up, you start reading it, you're not going to want to put it down. So we'll be talking with him next week as well. So tell your friends, and I look forward to your joining me. And I still just have a touch of that laryngitis, but it'll be gone before you know it. One of the things I wanted to talk about this morning is movie making. And to me, it is absolutely fascinating. I know of some young people that really want to get into it, and of course they're so computer literate, the younger generation is. But if you go back into times where they didn't have the sophistication of technology as they have today, the saying, you stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before you, is really true, especially in the movie industry. A lot of what has been, let's say, grown with in the movie industry came from pioneers like Alfred Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock, for those of you that are quite young. You may not know about him, but this man achieved a phenomenal recognition with his movies Psycho and The Birds and The Mystery. He just put out so many absolutely awesome, awesome mystery and intriguingly psychologically thrilling movies. And when he did it, he had this way of looking at things that very few people did. He wanted to create effects that left an emotional mark on people, and he did that quite well. One of the most profound was his movie, Psycho. And this was actually based on a real case, and it was adapted from a novel which was called Psycho. And it was on about a real-life Wisconsin serial killer, Ed Gein. And this had come out in 1959. Well, when Elford wanted to produce it and wanted to bring everything together, at the time he made this movie, he was using black and white. So I came across some trivia, and if ever you should watch the movie, I'm not interested in watching it, but I know millions and millions of people have, and Hitchcock was just amazing with how he was able to produce things. Janet Leigh was the female star, and she, I can remember being her being interviewed, and she said she never could stand to take a shower with any kind of shower curtain after she did the movie. She stood in for all of the different aspects of it, including the stabbing in the shower and all this kind of stuff. And she really had to be extremely disciplined because he wanted particular effects. And she had, he said, in those days, women, when they dressed, never, ever wore a dress without a slip. And Hitchcock pushed the boundaries. In fact, Psycho was one of the first movies that showed a woman in lingerie. Of course, it wasn't ugly lingerie, but it was lingerie. Well, look at what we see today. Well, then she has different colors. It's like white lingerie is for the good gal. The black lingerie is for the seductress. But it was absolutely unbelievable when Hitchcock had a scene in his movie showing a toilet. Now, you may say, Donna, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But you have to think of the time. You have to remember that there was very strong censorship in the movies. You couldn't show this. You couldn't show that. You couldn't show the other. They still have censorship, and some of it, I think, should be employed. But regardless, we're much more open about things. We don't think about someone showing a bathroom. Everybody uses it. But we don't, it's no big deal. Well, Hitchcock was one of the originators of showing that. And, of course, when it came to the blood, you'll never guess what they used. Remembering, this is a black and white movie. He used chocolate syrup. Ooh, that must have been so sticky. That's what they used in the film. And when there was the scene of Janet Leigh in the shower, now, in those days, it was extreme nudity and the perspective. Yep, you can laugh again, but that's the way it was. And the scene where she had to have eye contact, there had to be a long, long time getting a particular footage so that they could create this drama with her eyes. It was absolutely amazing. She was able to hold true into positioning, doing what she had to do. Screaming violins, all of this and more is what Hitchcock used to create the illusion that ended up for a lot of people being the equivalent of a major nightmare, but they were mesmerized by it. It's considered even today one of the best horror murder films that has ever been made. Alfred Hitchcock. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you so much for being with me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. If you can join me at the class tomorrow, would love to have you there. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe, be happy, and count your blessings. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.